Well, when we think about comedy, we also think about Lenny Bruce, perhaps. Bob Hope, influential in one way. Lenny Bruce, in a very different way. And the name of the show, in fact, is I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. Ronnie Marmo plays Lenny Bruce. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, Lenny Bruce is not one of those names that I think is talked about often enough. And I think the name of the show tells us so much about Lenny Bruce. I'm not a comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. Am I right about that? Because I didn't know Lenny Bruce. I'm just gathering this from what I've read about him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the title kind of says it all. I'm not a comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, meaning he was a comedian, but not just a comedian. I mean, this was the guy who fought freedom of speech all the way to the Supreme Court and ultimately lost just 60 years ago in this country because, you know, he held a mirror up to society. And he was just, you know, if you love Richard Pryor or George Carlin, actually more specifically Carlin, you know, picked up the baton from Lenny when Lenny passed back in 66. So if you love that kind of comedy or, you know, people holding a mirror up to society or challenging hypocrisy, then Lenny Bruce was very important, you know, so much more than just telling jokes.
Indeed, but the list is much longer than that. And I understand what you're saying. Someone like George Carlin, their comedy was kind of like Lenny Bruce, but I've told you off the air when we set this conversation up that Joan Rivers more than once told me that one of the great influences on her was Lenny Bruce. And the list goes on and on and on of comedians whose style, very different, but they took something from Lenny Bruce.
That's true. You know, it's funny. I've heard Joan Rivers say that Lenny Bruce was the sexiest man she ever met. It's true. She said there was something about him. A lot of people say that. You know, he was a good-looking guy, obviously, but like he wasn't like traditionally striking, but he was so charismatic and just so like confident. You know, there was something about that guy. And I know Joan Rivers was she just loved him. In fact, she ended up playing Sally Marr, Lenny's mother, in a one-man show on Broadway. A one-woman show, I should say.
Yeah, I did not know that.
It's great. So, yeah, he's influenced everybody all the way down to, you know, people like Chappelle, you know, people who are doing their thing and you know, not afraid to say what's on their mind kind of thing.
So, if Lenny Bruce was the sexiest man in America, you must be the second sexiest since you play Lenny Bruce.
Well, I've been told I was, you know, I'm slightly handsome, but who knows? You know, a friend of mine, actually,
slightly.
A friend of mine, Paul Lisnick, who is very handsome and apparently younger than you. I don't know if that's something
he doesn't know
about,
either.
Paul he's interviewed me many times, and you know.
So I apologize for whatever interview that you had to endure with Dr. Lisnick. And the great thing is you're one of the few surviving people who he's spoken to.
The man is a tyrant. He's a tyrant. He's out of control.
I know. He asks crazy, crazy questions, not questions like I'm about to ask. So this show is about Lenny Bruce or Lenny Bruce's comedy or actually about both?
You know, I'm really proud to say that I feel like it's the first time in any portrayal, and I've been told specifically by Lenny Bruce's daughter, Kitty, that we actually go through the whole journey in 90 minutes. We meet the man, we see his comedy, we see his influence on law, on the world, on poetry, on music, on everything. We just really get to know him in a way that, you know, the traditional way things have been done is like, you know, Lenny Bruce is a bitter comic at the end of his career. He's fighting authority, and that's kind of what has been done in the past. And in this situation, literally, you meet his love for his daughter, his wife, just everything he went through in 90 minutes. So really, that's why the title is what it is, because I want you to know that you're going to have a full experience with this guy and not just his comedy, although we do many of the great bits. It's almost like seeing a concert of your favorite band. I love when Lenny fans come to the show because they see the bit and they get pumped up about it. Yeah.
What it kind of reminds me about, now this is going to sound crazy, but it's James Taylor and Carole King, and let me explain. So CNN just had a special with James Taylor and Carole King, and they reminisce. So you'd see them reminisce and tell stories from back in the day, but then you'd actually see them perform as well. So to me, it's this combination of both. Okay, you get the behind-the-scenes stories maybe you've never heard before, a bit of biography mingled in with all that, and sort of some of the best bits.
That's true. And in fact, I saw that special you were talking about on CNN. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. But it's a cohesive story. It is a theatrical piece. When we do the bits, it's not like, oh, it's time to do a bit. We take you back to the nightclub in the 60s and different versions of the nightclub. We take you when he was in his prime, and we do that with lighting and sound design. It's beautiful. And all the way down to his last moment when there were three people in the audience walking out on him, you know. So we take you through the whole process in a theatrical way. You're coming to see a play, which is cool. But we do break the fourth wall often in the show for the audience who's sitting there. We basically call that the storytelling section of the play, where people are right here, right now, and Lenny's taking you back to the 60s. And so it's been fantastic. It's been going great in Chicago, and, you know, I love doing it, and I can't wait to get back on stage. You know?
Well, Chicago is very much a part of Lenny Bruce's life. I want to talk about that, and also how this all began having to do with Joe Mantegna, our very own. You talked about breaking down the fourth wall. It's Paul Lisnick who breaks down the fifth wall every night. I'll tell you that. We'll be right back here on WGN 145. Steve Dale back with you on WGN. I've got the best producer there is, Cassara, and she said to me, well, you know, I don't understand. Every week, it seems, Paul Lisnick gets to one of your guests and then has him say something, anything. They don't even know why they're saying what they're saying. How does Paul get them to do this? She said he must pay them. And I said, I don't know how he gets them to do it, but he certainly doesn't pay them, because I know this. Paul Lisnick doesn't pay for anything. Several texts, 312-981-7200, asking about the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, who really brought Lenny Bruce back to the forefront. We'll ask our guest, Ronnie Marmo, about that, who plays Lenny Bruce in the show I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce at the Venus Cabaret Theater. The Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their dental institute, family medicine clinic, speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, and eye institute. At their clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. You can learn more at mwuclinics.com. Or call 630-743-4500, 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care. And on WGN, Ronnie Marmo was here, plays Lenny Bruce. And yes, I've had several questions here, Ronnie, about the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, a show that's, I don't know where that streams necessarily. They're probably in the, because I'd been watching it, I've seen it, and it was so cool. She plays a stand-up comic, and she brought Lenny Bruce back to life, so to speak. People who hadn't heard of Lenny Bruce or had forgotten about him, they now know just through this show.
That is true. It's fantastic. I'm so grateful to that show. Michael Ziegen, who plays, the husband, he came and saw the show, and he was just like blown away and obsessed with it, and gave us a beautiful quote. And I just love the fact that Maisel has, you know, brought Lenny back to the forefront and introduced his name to a whole generation of people who had no idea who he was. And we've sold lots of tickets because of the show. We've had many people literally call and come to the show and say, you know, I didn't know he was a real person or whatever. So I love the fact that, you know, Lenny Bruce is alive and well on that show. I wish they gave the actor more to do because the show is not focused on Lenny. But either way, I'm just so grateful, you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the character that Lenny Bruce is, I think from, again, I know nothing, you know far more from what I've read, is kind of accurate. He wanted to push the envelope, and he continued to push the envelope. And what he considered doing was observation more than comedy in some ways?
Yeah, I mean, his comedy came from observation, I would say. You know, that's really a good way to put it. I mean, he was, you know, the kind of person who would ask a lot of questions and try to find the answers. And, you know, at that time, I mean, he was getting arrested for, like, he did this one routine called Religions Incorporated. And it was a very funny piece. And he had the, it wasn't even about dirty words. He had the Pope being Jewish. And there was an organization on Madison Avenue where all these guys would meet, and including Billy Graham, and, you know. And it was a very funny bit. And he offended some Catholic cop in Chicago. And that's when he got arrested at the Gate of Horn, which used to be right across the street from Mr. Kelly's, which is now Gibson Steakhouse, just to give people a reference. But Lenny got arrested there in Chicago for doing Religions Incorporated, and it was just a funny piece about the Pope being Jewish. So people weren't doing that kind of comedy then. And but he also made you think and consider things, and so people didn't like that. You know, there's always that first guy to, like, pave the way, and then, you know, a lot of people don't like change, if as it were, you know. So that's what happened. That's what the situation was.
So if Lenny Bruce were here today and doing the same sort of comedy, using the same language, would anyone bat an eye?
No. No, it would be kind of silly, to be honest. I think it would be kind of ridiculous. Yeah, nobody would bat an eye. And, you know, I mean, he had some controversial bits back then that maybe today he wouldn't do, or they might not hold up the same way. But I don't think anybody would bat an eye in terms of the topics he was, you know, approaching. I mean, people are still, at this point, have gone way beyond what Lenny was talking about. He was just the first guy to do it, you know. I mean, all these comedians, like I mentioned Carlin, but really down to, you know, anybody, Chris Rock, Chappelle, just all these people. So no, he would be pretty tame for today's standards.
Yeah, I mean, and there is always a first person to do it. What did you know about Lenny Bruce? And when you were offered the show, I know Joe Mantegna is a part of the story.
Well, I wrote the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I offered it to myself, if you know what I mean.
So what intrigued you?
So I wrote the show, and what did I know about Lenny? I knew 12 years ago, somebody asked me to do a play about Lenny Bruce. I knew of him. I'm too young. Obviously, he was before my time. So I knew of him, but I didn't know much more than that. And after tons of research and doing this other show, I fell in love with Lenny and realized our lives paralleled in so many ways personally. And so I just felt like, you know, as an actor and a writer, like to get to do something that is so inspiring to me personally, but also is important. Sadly, in so many ways, we haven't progressed at all in this country. If anything, we've regressed in some ways. And
what do you mean by that? In what reference?
Well, it's just freedom of speech. I mean, it's still the same argument, the same fight. You know, the other side of the aisle at this point, though, is claiming free speech more than who Lenny was fighting for originally in the 60s. It's kind of flip-flopped. But, you know, people are still trying to keep, you know, people from saying what they want, doing what they want. And so I just think the more we change, the more things stay the same in some ways, you know. And, you know, that's been my experience. Even some people who maybe come to the show, like of the younger generation, and don't really understand who Lenny was or what he was trying to do or say, you know, a lot of the younger folks today don't want people to say whatever they want. They don't want you to have the ability to do that. And what I love about this show is I don't want anyone to be scared off the idea that, like, oh, Lenny just ran around, you know, saying bad words and saying whatever he wanted, insulting people. It wasn't like that at all. He just was holding a mirror up to society and wanted to have discussions. He wasn't shock for shock value, you know.
What I meant to ask, actually, that just came out wrong, has to do with more Joe Mantegna than you, who I believe directed the show, correct? So what attracted you? So that's what I, so how did he get involved in all this?
Well, Joe's been a mentor to me for probably 16, 17 years. I had written a movie a long while ago called West of Brooklyn, and I reached out to Joe. I didn't know him. I wrote him a letter, and he had responded, and long story short, he ended up doing the film, and we've become very close. And so when I wrote this piece, I thought, I need someone who I respect as a director and a talent, but also someone who would, like, guide me with a gentle hand, because I knew what I wanted to do. And but I needed someone who just, I thought, you know, would take this to another level. And we all know how talented Joe is, and in every way. And so I brought the script to Joe. I read it for him. He really liked it. And then he helped me probably the last 10, 15% with the writing. We moved some scenes around and this and that. And then eventually we got into rehearsal, and he was just, you know, he was just magic. I mean, you know, Joe Montaigne is the best. And so the fact that we're in Chicago, that's not an accident. Joe really wanted to share this show with Chicago because of how he feels about Chicago. And, you know, what a blessing for me to get to have that experience, you know?
Well, what a blessing it is to have you here. I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce, taking a hiatus now, but kicking it off very, very soon, January 28th through February 5 at the Venus Cabaret Theater. That's at 3745 North Southport on the north side. Southport and about Lincoln Avenue, if I recall correctly. The Venus Cabaret Theater. And again, I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce. Ronnie Marmo, it's great to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And I hope I see everyone at the show. And it's really a wonderful experience. It's a real swanky club that the Mercury Theater, they built this like cool cabaret space in the building, and it's just so perfect for Lenny, and it's a great night out. So I hope you make it out.
Swanky. Know? I like it.
Swanky. Yeah. Swanky. I like that word.
Yeah. If it's swanky, I'll be there. Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.